I'm just sitting by watching to see what God's fixing to do. Take your Bible and turn it with me to Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter number 4. I'm going to tell you a little story before I even read my text tonight, and try to make this make sense, if you will. By the way, I think after this will be the last night of our revival meeting, but this does not have to be the last night of revival. I hope somebody has allowed God to begin a work in your heart. The Bible said, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. He will keep on doing that work. The Bible doesn't have to end because the evangelist went home. Revival is not a special speaker. It's a state of our heart. Amen. But I will say, after this meeting's over, I'm going to put some of you Oreo addicts on the diet. Brother Warren said, since Jonathan preached on peanut butter Oreos, he's gained 5 pounds. Took the preacher to eat Tuesday night after church, and my phone just kept bleep, 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 blowing up with texts, and everybody in this church was sending me pictures of Oreos. And then a little bit later, they had time to get home, and they was sending me pictures sanctifying them and baptizing them. Amen. That was good stuff. Brother Freddy sent me one, and everybody else was buying them peanut butter, but Brother Freddy sent me one that had the double stuff. He said, oh, that was you. I thought Brother Freddy did too. Somebody, Brother Freddy, I believe. Somebody, maybe Jesse too, said, go big or go home. Amen. Hallelujah. What a time we have had. If you're Luke chapter 4, say amen. Amen. Friday night, my wife and I, and Brother Field and his wife, we were up here late decorating and getting things ready for Ladies' Day. And I started down the hall, and Miss Jennifer was back there around the nursery, and I noticed a lady standing there that I'd never seen before. She had just wandered in from off the street, and she saw me and realized I was the pastor, and she followed me around for, I don't know, we probably talked for 30 minutes. And she was a precious, sweet lady, but she was from a different kind of church, kind of a non-denominational, I guess you'd say. And she was involved in a suicide prevention ministry, which probably is a great need in the day we're living, with all these children killing themselves. And there ought to be an awareness about it. Parents ought to be aware of what's out there on the interweb and all that stuff and enticing these children to kill themselves. Anyway, she was telling me about all that, and she was telling me that they had moved, and they were having to drive a good ways to go to church, and they'd been visiting around, so she started asking me about our church and our ministries, and I began to tell her what all we had, and what all we do, and what all we had for the children, and that kind of thing, and we talked and talked, and I had a lot to do. I wasn't trying to be rude, but I was really trying to get on about my wife's business. My wife had specific instructions laid out for me. I need you to do this and this and this. Can't be a witness right there. I had a honey-do list. But yet I'm standing in the parking lot talking to a strange woman. So I'm trying to bring the conversation to a close and get back to my picture hanging and all the other stuff she had me doing. And I was standing at my truck, and she said one more thing before I go. And this one question the lady asked me kind of arrested my heart for a little bit. She said, what is your message? I didn't understand really what she meant. I said, excuse me, I'm not really clear what you're getting at. She said, what is your message? I didn't know what she meant, what I was going to preach Sunday, or I didn't know what she was talking about. And I said, ma'am, I'm not really sure. She said, well, you're an independent Baptist, is that right? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, so I would assume that your message is all hellfire and damnation, is that right? I kind of figured out where she was going. And I said, ma'am, that's part of it. We can't preach the whole counsel of God without preaching the judgment of God, but no, that is not all we preach. I try and preach a balanced message, and when I did this, she got me interested, and I got hung up, and I was doing all the talking. But sometimes I perceive that I believe that the community around across America, when we say independent, fundamental, King James, when we start spouting off all those little titles we put over Baptist Church, they automatically have a preconceived notion of what we are, that we just hate everybody. Are y'all okay? By the way, we don't hate everybody. We love everybody. We don't love sin, but we love the sinner. And I begin to tell her, ma'am, we try to preach a balanced message. We try to feed the church. We try to uplift the hurting. And this scripture was just burning in my mind and has been burning in my mind the entire week. I can't get past it. It's not really a Wednesday night kind of message, but it's what we're getting tonight. And what she was basically asking me was, what is your mission statement? If a new company starts up and they incorporate, they have to have a mission statement. In other words, what is your purpose for being here? Why are you here? What is your goal? What do you plan to achieve? What do you plan to do? What is your mission statement? And I begin to think about that. That question burned in my mind, Brother David. What is your message? What is your message? When you take the pulpit, when you encounter strangers in the street, at Walmart, or the grocery store, what is your message? What is it that we have to give? And I thought about this for 25 years. Our message has never changed. Let me just say it again, for 25 years, and then long before that, before I got here, the message of the Happy Valley Baptist Church and the mission statement of the Happy Valley Baptist Church has never changed. And as long as I've got breath in my body, it never will change, as long as I've got anything to do with it. And if I die and somebody changes the message, I'll pray the Lord, let me come back home, every one of you. Are you listening? Some things may change. Our location has changed. We used to be 13 miles that way in that. 19 years ago, God changed our location. We've had some membership that has changed. We've had some, maybe even some methods, if you will, that have changed. But let me say again, our message will never change. Our doctrinal statement will never change. We will always preach the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will always preach the sinless life and the vicarious death. We will always preach the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. We will always preach that He and He alone is the only way to eternal life. We'll never change that. We'll never allow that to be taught or preached anywhere on this property, Brother Jack. We will not have it. I'm dogmatic enough if a teacher hangs a poster on the wall in their classroom with the wrong scripture on it, I make them mark it out and write the right one in. My wife went to Hobby Lobby and bought this sign that's in the hallway with a horse on it for our ladies' day. And we came in, saw the scripture was bad. We made them put a hat over it. Amen. He said, well, now we got the horse. I said, that's enough right there. Hallelujah. I'd rather have a horse with no scripture than a horse with bad scripture. And it probably wasn't many people that called it just one word off, but it was off. You say, well, you're too dogmatic. Well, if you're not pretty dogmatic, things slip and things slide. And over the years, the message winds up changing. I'm convinced in my heart we have the right message. There are churches all over our area who years ago had the same message we have tonight. They had the same doctrine. They had the same Bible. They worshiped in pretty much the same manner. Over the years, something happened. And they let this slide, and they let that slide. And now they don't even have a message. Without a Bible, you don't have much of a message. That Bible is our message. Somebody say amen.
Yes, sir.
Our message will continue to be the virgin birth, the sinless life, the vicarious death, the death, burial, and resurrection. Our message will continue to be that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Our message will continue to be that He will return for His church and the rapture. Amen. Our message will never change.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what our message is tonight. Where my heart is, and this little lady standing beside my truck. All I could think of, and I did my best to quote her, this verse of Scripture. And I started quoting, and she's pretty sharp. She said, "That's in Isaiah, isn't it?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'm quoting from Luke, the same place the Lord was." Amen. But anyway, let's look at verse number 14. Luke chapter number 14. The Bible said that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Now notice what it said. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. He's at home. He's where people know him. He's where people know him more for being Joseph's son than the Messiah. I got to get away from that. I'll get hung up. And the Bible said, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. By the way, our custom ought to be that we come to church. Our custom ought to be that we come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I know there's a lot of them don't have church anymore on Sunday night, and I'm not going to throw rocks at them. I'm not responsible for them, but I am responsible for us. And as long as we're around here, we're going to have church on Sunday night. There's a couple of days, a couple of Sundays a year, we have the big day with the bus kids, and we don't have church that night. That's a little bit different. We spend all day with them at the ball field, but on a regular basis, we're going to have church on Sunday night. And then again, we're going to have church on Wednesday night. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. But we ought to make sure that not just from the pulpit, but in our Sunday school classes, on our bus routes, and even in our homes around the kitchen table, that our message remains the same. That it never changes. My heart's desire is that our Wednesday night crowd would equal our Sunday morning crowd. I said again, a lot of things may change. It may change in the future. Our building may change. I don't know where we're going from here, but I'm ready for it. All I need is an answer from the Lord. If he says build a new building right out there outside that window, that's what we're going to do. If he says take over and go to Rush Park, that's what we're going to do. I told him I was willing to take it by force for him. Whatever it took, Lord, we'll do it. It doesn't matter to me. Understand, building, I mean, thank God for this building. But it doesn't mean to me what it means to a lot of other churches. Thank God for it. We take care of it. We try to keep it clean. We try to keep it up to date. You know, all that kind of stuff and in good repair. But this building ain't the ticket. The message and the Spirit of God is the ticket. Amen. And when we're not here, this is just an empty building. It ain't even church when we're not here. So church is wherever we are. Whatever God wants, what I'm saying is I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to go in more debt. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. Jesus is coming, and we'll let the Methodists pay it off. Amen. I mean, I'm just trying to say, I'm willing for that kind of change. Our location may change. We may stay here. We may move down the road. I don't know. But whatever it is, I'm willing for whatever God has. But whatever we do, hey, our message will never change. So Jesus, I stopped somewhere in our custom ought to be in church. Amen.
Yeah.
In verse number 17, the Bible said, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Do you think that was just a fickle finger of fate kind of thing? Do you think it was just happenstance that Jesus himself, the Son of the living God, comes into the synagogue and they hand him the Bible and he opens it up, or they open it up, and it's in the book of Isaiah, and wouldn't you know, there's his message. There is the message of the Messiah. And he begins to read. The Bible said, The Spirit of the Lord is upon thee. Because he hath anointed me. Preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives. And the recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse number 20 said, and he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down in the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Can you imagine the hush in that room? As God in the flesh begins to read his own book.
Yeah.
I doubt he even had to look down. He wrote it.
Yeah.
Somebody say amen right there.
Yeah.
You'll find the Lord. It's funny to me that it's in Isaiah. He quotes Isaiah over and over and over throughout his 33 and a half years. And then they get to church and they hand him the Bible and say, how about you read a little bit? And it just so happens that he reads from Isaiah and reads this very verse of Scripture that night. He don't even finish the verse.
Amen.
He closes the book and sits down, and the Bible said every eye was on him. I bet they'd never heard the Bible read like that. I bet it had, Brother Mark would say, that's got something on it.
Yeah.
Brother Sammy Adams said, I felt something right there. Amen. I guarantee you, when he read that scripture, they felt something right there. I bet he was thinking, my, I've been coming here for year after year, and I've heard every priest stand up and read that book, but I ain't never heard anything like that. Jesus here declares himself to be the Messiah. He's proved the fact several times throughout his ministry. He's raised the dead, but yet they doubted. He's healed the sick, but yet they doubted. He's took authority over demonic spirits, and still they doubted. Y'all okay? Even in his birth, his death, and his resurrection, he proved repeatedly over and over who and what he was. But yet, they doubted. I wonder in our lives how many times the Lord has proven over and over and over who he is and what he is. Not only just who he is and what he is, but what he can do. But yet, we find ourselves in doubt. We don't doubt he's the Son of God. We don't doubt he's the Savior. But we somehow doubt that he'll hear and answer our prayer.
Yeah.
Yet he does over and over and over.
Amen.
After all that, they still failed to recognize him for who he was.
Yeah.
In verse 22, they said, is this not Joseph's son? Is this not Joseph's son? I remember at White Oak, Brother Chris, growing up. I was there from the time I was 4 years old until I was 27. I think I came here, maybe, I don't know. Yeah. So I was 27. I grew up in that church all my life. When I announced my call to preach, it was like, that's just Daddy's. I went to, what's the church in Douglasville, Brother Todd? Shallow, Brother Hank. We went over there to camp meeting right after I surrendered to preach, and they were having a big meeting. They had all the preachers to stand and tell who you are and where you're from. I sat on the front row, man. I stood up all them guys. I'd never done that before. And I said, anyway, why don't Spring Baptist Church with man in the back? Must have not laughed. No way. I started preaching and people just came to see if it was for real or not. There was speculation about how long it would last.
Yeah. Exactly.
How long is this going to last? Will this just wear off?
Yeah.
Why? Because they knew me.
Yeah.
They knew my past. They about everything I did wrong. I did at church. I didn't need to go much other places. I got in trouble. It was at the house of God. Amen. It was a long time before a lot of people took me serious, and that's where they are with Jesus. That's just Joseph's son. That ain't nobody special. Because they knew who he was, they overlooked what he was.
Yes,
are you listening?
Yes, sir.
They failed to recognize him for who he was. Who he is. He is the Son of God. He is the fulfillment of every typology and picture in the Old Testament of the Messiah that was to come. Somebody said in the life of Joseph that there are at least 101 pictures or types of Christ in the life of Joseph. That Old Testament showed us Jesus over and over and over, and then he came and fulfilled it to the letter. That he was who he said he was. But he was so much more than that. He was so much more than just the Messiah and the Son of the living God. He was Adam's sacrifice. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and because of the sin, they were separated from God. And God said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll shed some blood, and we'll make some skins, and we'll cover your nakedness. He was Adam's sacrifice. He was Abel's lamb. He was Noah's ark. He was Abraham's sacrifice. He was David's good shepherd. He was God's tabernacle. He was the perfect sacrifice. Somebody ought to get happy. Just thinking about what Jesus is. Jesus makes claims regarding why he came. So he quotes to them or reads to them Isaiah chapter 61 and verse number 1 and 2. And he applies this scripture to himself and his ministry. And all these things that Jesus read out of Isaiah are quoted out of Isaiah were fulfilled in his lifetime. Every one of them. We'll go over them in just a few minutes. When he said, I'm come because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he fulfilled it. Not only has he fulfilled in his lifetime everything that is recorded in those two verses, he is still fulfilling them day in and day out and day in and day out. Last Monday night and Tuesday night, Levi and I were in Highland, Arkansas, and we watched the Lord come in a mighty way and save 17 men and women. On Tuesday night, we saw a rough old day. His children came to church. His wife came to church. But for years, they've been praying for daddy. Pray for my husband in Sunday school. Those children would say, pray for my daddy. Well, old daddy came on Tuesday night. I'm happily through the service on daddy's lip. Not quivering. Daddy got the fidget in the pew. And by the time the altar came, altar call came, here came daddy down the aisle. What do you say? I'm saying Jesus is still fulfilling. Change the heart and the lives of individuals. Thank God I serve and saved. He hadn't changed one bit. Now listen, there's some things he'll never do again. He'll never die again. You say that again. He'll never die again. They'll never crucify him again. He'll never wear a crown of thorns. Not one more time. Oh, he did it at Bloody Calvary. And that one time was enough for all time. He'll never suffer again. He'll never bleed again. They'll never beat him again. Are you listening? Everything he claimed in that verse, he fulfilled in his life, and he's still doing it today.
Amen.
You know what's the most awesome thing in the world about it? We get to watch it.
Yeah.
He did it for us, and then we get to watch him do it for others over and over and over. I believe even in all the rigmarole that went on here Sunday with our anniversary, I believe we still have one saved on Sunday. And I'm telling you, hey, it ain't about a man. It's about Messiah. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad he's still saving sinners. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. I don't think it's going to be long. We're going to hear the trumpet. He's going to call us up out of here. I said he's going to call us up out of here. And then when Christ will rise first, and those which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the cloud. In the air, so shall it ever be the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe that's coming soon. But it's not time to sit down. It's not time to go back. There are still lots of men and women, little boys and girls that have died and go to a devil's hell without the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got the my greatest message known to man. We went to, I got to be careful. We went to a meeting, Brother Bo and Brother Ronnie and I and Brother BJ, and it was a men's meeting. We had a great time, and they had a speaker there, and I'm not being critical of him, and he did the job. I'm trying not to say a whole lot, but anyway, he spoke. That was his job to speak, and there was 650 men there, I believe, Brother Bo. Is that right? Somewhere in there. 650 men, and he gave a great little talk. I mean, it was real good, but he just kind of skirted around, and then people had invited lost loved ones and friends and bought tickets and paid money to get their lost loved ones and relatives and friends, their hunting buddies and all that, to get them in that meeting. And I thought, my dude, what an opportunity I've got to stand up and proclaim that Jesus saved, and without him you'll spend forever in a place called hell. I wanted to preach to that Baptist thing. I said, I'm not being mean. He did a good job, but he got close to the edge. But I'd have waited on off in there. I'd have jumped on off in the deep water. A message is not a message if it is not complete.
That's right.
People call our phones are still down, but I check my messages, try to every day, every other day, and people call my phone all the time, and you can tell sometimes when they're on a cell phone and they got a bad signal, and they'll say, Pastor White, this is so-and-so, then you'll run into them later, and they'll say, I'm the guy that tried to call you the other day, and you never called me back. I said, well, I couldn't have done that. I couldn't understand you. I didn't get the whole message. All I got was part of it.
Yeah.
And sometimes they talk like they got marbles in their mouth. You can't understand a word they're saying. And then they'll get down to the phone number and say, my phone number is 678-6705. That's not good. Not me. You got to speak in tongues or be able to interpret. They left a message, but the problem was the message was not clear and concise enough for me to get the message and do it. What I'm trying to say is we got to make sure the message is clear and concise and complete. Amen. We're going to preach a complete gospel. We're not going to bring them up to the edge and just leave them hanging. We're not just going to tell them they're drowning and go home. We're going to throw them up. Preserve.
Amen.
We okay?
Yeah.
We're going to rescue the perishing.
Yes,
care for the dying. Why? Because Jesus is merciful. And Jesus will save. The Lord gives them here, Isaiah 61:1-2, and he gives them his mission. His mission. By the way, his mission is still the same. It's never changed. It never will change. But there was a mystery around his mission. During his life, men marveled at what he did. They said, never a man spake like this. Five times in the New Testament, people said they were astonished at his teachings and his way.
Yeah.
No man will ever be able to duplicate, Brother Freddie, all that Jesus did. We have in the Gospels the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I won't go in and tell you what all each one represents, but there's some good stuff in there. But you know what the Bible said? And we have miracle after miracle. Dead being raised, lame walking, deaf hearing, dumb talking, lepers healed. I mean, you name it. We've got it all. Demons cast out. But the Bible said that the books could not contain everything. No man will ever come close to being and doing what Jesus did. You know what the Lord said? Greater works than these. You're going to do it. With the healing and the demons and all that stuff, I believe he put the priority, the premium on sinners being saved. We okay
tonight?
No man will ever duplicate all that Jesus did. His temptation, his opposition, his rejection, his separation from God, his crucifixion. Oh, my. We get a hangnail and we think we're suffering for Christ. Y'all okay?
Amen.
We can't come to church because the kids got a sniffle. They'll be at that daycare tomorrow.
Yep.
Nobody will ever hold a candle to what Jesus did. But yet he came for a singular purpose, and that was to die. To give his life a ransom for us. Everything he did, don't get sideways with me right here. He didn't do it as God. He did it as a man. You say, well, that was simple for him. He was God. Yeah, but just as much as he was God, he was a man. When they rejected him, it hurt. He said he came to his own, they received him not. Can you imagine going to grandma's for Sunday afternoon dinner and they shut the door in your face and said, you're not welcome here anymore? Can you imagine if your mother and father looked at you and said, you're out?
Yes.
He took rejection. My goodness. Trials and troubles. Sometimes I think they're good for us.
Amen.
Yes, faith is not faith, Brother David, until it's tested.
Right.
But we like to sit around and look at everybody else that's going through it. So bless God, if that was me, you ain't got a clue what you would do. I'd like to think that I'd do right. I can't imagine burying my wife. I watched my pastor, Brother Earl Partain. I was there at Sister Becky's funeral. She got hit by a state patrol in high speed pursuit and killed Sister Becky Partain, one of the most precious women I've ever known in my life. And I thought, there's no way I could go through what that man's going through. I sat in that funeral, watched him get up, run laps around that building, and preach like forking lightning at his wife's funeral. And I thought, man, no way I can do that. And I'd sure like to know that the Lord had helped me like he helped
you.
Amen. Anyway. The mystery of his mission. And then there's the majesty of his mission. Jesus came to this world with a job.
That's right.
He came with a purpose.
Yes.
He had a job to do. I'm here because I have a job to do. I'm not like you. I don't regret or I don't dread getting up and going to work. I love it. I've been dying since Sunday morning to lay my Bible on this pulpit and preach. I've watched Levi and I've watched Jonathan get preached behind my new pulpit all week. I've watched them set water bottles up here and I'm like, ugh. They're going to get scratched. I'm going to do it.
Amen.
I've been dying. Hey, it's not something. This is something I look forward to. This is something I get excited about. Then I was pacing across the floor this afternoon. Angie said, you all right? I said, yeah. Man, I'm like a barrel racing horse getting it in the alleyway. I'm jumping at the bit, man. I love what I do. Jesus had a job to do, and he loved the job that he did.
Amen.
And by the way, can I just say, he did a good job.
Amen.
He didn't need anybody to tell him good job. He didn't need an attic boy. He didn't need a pat on the back. He was able to look toward heaven, hanging between heaven and earth at bloody Calvary, and look to the Father and say, Father, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I did my job. I'd like to end this thing like the Apostle Paul one day and say, I fought a good fight.
Yes.
I finished my course. I kept the faith. I did a good job.
Yes.
Or I did the very best I could.
Amen.
Jesus came with a job to do. No different than anybody else, but there was something special about him. There was something special about him. He was a man, but he was no ordinary man. He was the man sent from God. He was God in the flesh and dwelling among us. He was the living version of this book right here. Somebody said, I got a living Bible. I said, no, he was here 2,000 years ago. John chapter 1, the Bible said he is the Word and was the Word. Thank God. Hey, amen. He didn't just have a job to do, but he was somebody special doing a job that nobody else could do. Nobody else was qualified. He came. What did he come for? Well, they told him, I came to preach the gospel to the poor. Brother Jonathan was talking the other night about growing up poor. He said they spelled it with four of us. That's how poor. That's how poor they were. A lot of us can say amen about that. Our kids ain't got a clue. They don't know. We went to McDonald's about once a year, maybe twice. We didn't go out to eat every night. Just because we got out of church didn't mean what restaurant are we going to. We was going home and boil some hot dogs. We didn't even have a microwave. We had to boil our wiener. We had to put our popcorn on the stove. Amen. Our kids ain't got a clue what poor is. Amen. I'm glad the Bible said he came to preach the gospel to the poor.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. I'm glad he came to the poor, not just the high and mighty. I'm glad he came for a little boy who lived on a single wine trailer on a dirt road, being raised by a single mother. Are you listening to me? I'm glad he sent a bus worker by and said, hey, I'm come to preach the gospel to the poor. I'm glad I was included and came brought the message to him.
Amen.
He came to herald the good news to those who were destitute of wealth, position, influence, and honor.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Amen.
There are churches, even in this town, where the poor are not left. There are churches in this town that it matters to them where you live. And what you drive. And the quality of the clothes on your back. Let me tell you something. Our message is this. We're here to preach the gospel to the poor. I remember when we moved into this building, Brother Charles, and took on this debt. I was scared literally to death. And here's how I pray. I did. I prayed, Lord, please send us millionaires. Yes, I did. I'd hear them stories. Old Jack Hiles would talk about being in his office praying and somebody come in and sit down with a blank check and say how much you need. I said, God, resurrect that man and bring him back. I sat in my office all day waiting on that man. Praise God. Amen. Every time a Cadillac pulled in the parking lot, I was like, then it circled leave. They see all our pieces of junk sitting out there and they on that road. We bought this place from the First Baptist and it screams First Baptist. Sometimes the rich people in park actually get out, they actually come in and find the seat. Then the choir would sing. They'd disappear in fellowship. For a little while, like some of these other preachers, and I don't want to be critical of them because I understand where they are. It's tempting to change, Brother David. You get on a whole lot of debt, you got to have some people that can help pay it.
Yeah,
but you know what God did?
Come on.
Brother Chris, he just kept sending me poor people. We get somebody come visit the church and say, preacher, I want to join the church. Well, hallelujah. Where do you work? I ain't got no job. I got a broken back. I'm living in a tent. I said, God, send us people with means. Send us people with money. He just kept sending the poor. One day the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and he said, you just preach the message.
That's right.
That's right.
I'll send those that I want to hear. Finally, one day I succumbed to the fact, Lord, this ain't my building. It's yours. It ain't my job to pay for it, Lord. It's yours. Lord, I'm just a mouthpiece. You send whoever you want. I don't care if they're homeless. I don't care if they're red, yellow, black, or white. I don't care if they're green, or purple, polka dot. God, you send whoever you want. And I'll preach to the poor like I'll preach to the rich. Amen. Somebody help me right there. Destitute of wealth. A lot of them come, don't get me wrong. They're here for a handout.
That's right.
They come by here every day.
Oh, yeah.
Check them doors, see if they send somebody in there. I want money. Some of them stop by, just passing through, they just want gas to get them down the road. Some people want to come to the church just to see what they can get out of it. And you know what? That's all right. We don't give to everybody that asks.
Amen.
I didn't get enough help right there. We can't.
Right.
We don't give to everybody that asks. We got members that are hurting. Sometimes somebody will come by and talk about needing help, and the Lord will burden my heart. And so you need to help them. Sometimes they'll come up and they'll be waiting on me when I get here, and I'll tell them, if you'll just come on, sit down in church.
That's right.
I had a lady a few weeks ago, she sat in the parking lot until church was over. I ain't helping her.
That's right.
Her and another lady and her kids.
Yeah.
Wasn't coming to bed, and you ain't coming in the bed, and you ain't getting no money.
Yeah.
And I'm glad God's. No, look, I'm not being hard. I'm just saying. But I like it when God sends the poor.
Amen.
And they come in hurting and down on their luck, and they sit in the pew where you're sitting tonight, and they hear the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they find out we've got something to offer. That money can't buy. They ain't got it at the mall, and they ain't got it at Walmart. It's something that comes only from God Almighty. Hallelujah. Said he sent me to preach the gospel to the poor.
Amen.
He said to heal the broken hearted.
Yeah, right.
To heal the broken hearted.
Amen.
I've said for years, everybody who comes through these doors are bringing with them some kind of baggage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
He messed up in his ministry. Nobody knew who he was, but Charles knew who he was. And I knew who he was. I saw him sit down right back there. Rebecca, right there where you're at. He started listening to the singing. Tears rolling down his face.
Amen.
Got time for fellowship. I went back there and put my arm around him. He said, "Preacher, am I okay?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Does it bother you that I'm here?"
Amen.
I said, "Brother, it won't bother you at all."
Amen.
But it didn't bother me one bit.
Amen.
He said, I just need to go somewhere where nobody knows me. He said, I need to hear from God.
Amen.
We've had people come in. His husband has left.
That's
right. We've had people come in whose wives have left. Broken. Lord knows how to heal the broken heart. You know, when the Lord came in our lives, Brother Fred, I was 4 years old. My mother had just given birth to a brand new little baby girl. My dad had left. I love my dad. But my dad had left and married another woman while he was still married to my mother. When my baby sister was born, he brought that woman to the hospital with him. What do you say? At 4 years old, I didn't have a clothes. But my mother was broken hearted. In those days, a divorced woman was kind of taboo. But I'm glad that the church family that took us in.
Amen.
And loved us. And didn't point fingers and judge. I'm glad we've got a message to the poor and to the brokenhearted. He came to cure those who had suffered extreme sorrow. It speaks of those whose spirit has been literally crushed. Literally, it means to be under the foot of the conqueror. I'm glad people can come in here completely defeated in their life. Some of them girls and ladies sitting right back there when they first come here.
Come on.
Yeah.
Some of them gone family giving up on you.
That's right.
Some of them looked at him and said they'll never get over it. They'll never get back.
Amen.
I'm glad he came to preach to the broken heart. Amen. And the poor. He said he came to preach deliverance to the captives.
Yeah.
I read where one author said that meant to be literally held at the point of his feet. A prisoner of war. We got a lot of captives in our society.
Amen.
We're held in chains by everything under the sun. There's more thrown at our young people today than in the history of mankind. And I'm glad they can come in this place and hear the voice of God who can set them free. And I don't care what it is.
Amen.
Amen.
There's a man preaching on the internet who says there's no way a homosexual can be saved. They're all going to hell. Well, it got quiet.
Yes.
He can set a drunkard free. He can set a homosexual free.
Yes.
He can set a dope head free. He can set a homosexual free.
Yes.
Some of y'all look a little squeamish right there. Oh, but what if they come in here? They have.
Yes.
And they will again.
Yes.
And I will preach to the captive.
Yes.
And I will tell them in Jesus, there is hope, there is hope, there is hope.
Yes.
Somebody told me one day, he said, preacher, you don't understand, this is just what I am. I said, yes, but Jesus can change what you am into what you ain't. I set you free.
Yeah.
Everybody in this room been delivered from something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say that again. Everybody in this room been delivered from something.
Yeah.
I'll never forget a woman stopped me, Bro Bo, right there in the aisle, right where you're at. She said, are you seriously going to start this RU program? I said, yeah.
Amen.
She said, do we really want those kind of people here? I said, I'm starting it for you.
Yeah.
Just because you got a King James Bible under your arm. Don't mean you ain't got a pain pill in your purse. Can I help you out there?
Preach on.
Difference in us and them, we've learned how to hide it. Disguise it.
Yeah.
Y'all wish Jonathan was back. You want to talk about Oreos?
Yeah.
We're going to preach to the captives. I'm glad you know God who can set them free. I've seen God deliver people. I can tell you some stuff. Brother Warren could get up here. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff we've seen people set free of. I'm talking about stuff we can't talk about in the book.
Yeah.
He said, that's what I came for. I came to preach to the poor. I came to preach to the brokenhearted. I came to preach deliverance to the captives. Now listen, we're in a place where God sets sinners free.
Amen.
Let me say this. We're in a place where he can set a saint free.
Amen.
Some of us sitting in this room tonight, we're not careful. We put ourselves right back in the bondage of our past.
That's right.
There's churches in the area that like to put a thumb on somebody because of what they were. Okay. Lord said, if you're free, free indeed. Feels good to get loose, don't it? Feels good. life handcuffed. I don't want to go through my spiritual life on crutches. I want to be free.
Amen.
Amen.
Love that song, "He Set Me Free."
That's right.
What's like a bird in prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow. What comes next? Then Jesus came and listened to me, Lord God, He set me free. Tell you what a mission is tonight. I hope it encourages you. It hasn't changed. If we make it to the 50th anniversary, which I don't see that, but if we were to, I promise you I'll do my best that message stays the same. We'll still be preaching the gospel to the poor. We'll still be preaching healing to the broken heart. We'll still be preaching deliverance to those who are in captivity. He said then he's preaching recovering of the sight to the blind. Recovering of sight to the blind.
Yeah.
You know what's wrong with our world today? They don't see.
Right.
They don't see. I don't know how many times I had parents come to me over the years, but I don't see anything wrong with this. And I don't see anything wrong with my 15-year-old girl going on a date. Are you listening? I don't see just because you don't see it. His message is, you're wonderful. You're all that and back at you. You need to learn to be your bigger, better self. Yeah, I'm talking about Joel. His message ain't in what he says, it's in what he don't say. People, kids are growing up in schools where teachers are telling them, you can be anything. And that's wicked, I reckon. Are you used to good? I didn't get remember how that goes. I can't play that piano like that. Brother John, my little brother, teaches guitar lessons. Sometimes he has to tell parents, you're wasting your money. I'll give them guitar lessons and take your money for the next 50 years, but they ain't never going to get it. You can't be anything you want, but here's what you can do. You can bring anything to God wants you.
Amen.
So that's what people didn't understand. God called me to preach. They said, if he's a preacher, the woods are full of them. Well, don't go out in the woods if you don't want to get preached to. What they didn't understand was that the God that called me is the God that equipped me.
Yes.
Go ahead. Ain't no way I can ever do that. Bye. Let me tell you something. Some of us need to take the blinders off. See exactly what it is God has for our lives.
Amen.
Brother Paul Richmond's wife, in April, when she was just a young lady, got divorced and remarried. Her husband, Paul, was a car salesman at Dallas Dodge. We went to buy a vehicle. April said, he's lost. And he's a Jew. He said, he don't think he needs to be saved. I sat down in that man's office and I made it for him. I didn't stick my finger in his face and tell him he was going to bust hell wide open. I gently, over the years, a friend of God. Amen. I went and bought Dodges when I didn't want the Dodges.
Amen.
I'm lying.
Amen.
One Sunday morning, sitting right there, we're real warm today.
Praise God.
About halfway through the message, I saw the scales fall from the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the tears began to flow.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And that old Jew walked the aisle and became a child of the living God.
Amen.
The doors of salvation.
Yeah.
I believe them. But Jesus is coming. That's what I mean. Every other Sunday night. In this message, there's hope.
Yes, sir.
There's hope for you. Preach the gospel to the poor. Yet, sickly heal the broken heart. Preach deliverance to the captive. And recover the sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And the Bible said it closed the book. That's our answer.
Yeah.
Let's stand. Thank you.